Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, praises, and thanks to everybody. Thank you to the Most High for allowing us to be together for another session of Sign of the Times. We're going to go ahead and open up the way in a few minutes, but this is a rare midnight, if you will, late night version of Sign of the Times. Because the work and the urgency that we need to do is so critical and so important, we're exploring, expanding, if you will, the times that we are on the air. And so if you would like to be a part of these late night sessions, please let me know. This is Queen Tahira. Hit me up on Facebook as Queen Tahira. Also, hit the Sign of the Times webpage on Facebook as signothetimes19@gmail.com is our email address. So please hit us up. Let us know what you think about Sign of the Times. And if you would like to be a part of the dialogues, let us know, because we can't do this without our listeners and supporters, and that would be you. So we're going to go ahead and ask the ancestors to open up the way, and then we're going to get started on tonight's or this morning, early morning listening session. We'll be right back.
Praise and thanks. Mojuba Akoda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs. Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos. Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Thank you to the ancestors and the powers that be for opening up the way for us to have tonight's, this early morning's listen-in session. And so what we're dealing with tonight is Agenda 21. Get a piece of paper and pencil out. If not, you can always listen to the archives on New Power Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. So hang out with us. If you get sleepy, don't worry about it. We'll still be here. Talk to you soon. See you.
You know, when you first heard it, you're like, come on, that's conspiracy. Because, I mean, who names something Agenda 21? I mean, when I flew into Seattle Airport one night, and the Department of Homeland Security actually paints their helicopters, I'm not kidding, black. And I'm like, come on, guys. Really, you've got actual black helicopters. I didn't believe it. And we started doing our research, and it's so overwhelmingly out in the open, you can't believe that nobody else is looking.
For everyone here tonight not familiar with Agenda 21, I would suggest that this is the beginning of your learning curve, not the end.
Good evening, I'm Rosa Corey. I'm the Executive Director of the Post Sustainability Institute. And I'm glad to be here tonight. It's an important night because we're drawing something out of the shadows. And it's important to talk about it. It's not a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy fact. This is Agenda 21. This is the United Nations plan. It's a 300-page, 40-chapter plan. And ICLEI was created in 1990, prior to this plan's adoption, to implement United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, worldwide. Sustainable development is a term that was defined by the United Nations, and all of these terms come out of the United Nations. Smart growth is part of the United Nations Agenda 21. Your general plan elements are designed in accordance with United Nations Agenda 21 principles. The plan restricts your choices, it limits your ability to govern yourself, and it takes away your freedom. This seems like a rhetorical statement, but it really is not. This is actually what this plan does. And using the cover of environmental concern, our private property rights and our civil rights have been diminished, and they will continue to be so unless we call a halt to it. ICLEI is the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, but it changed its name so that you wouldn't know that it's international. It seems like all of these things seem like they sound so good. Sustainable development, green, vibrant, walkable, bikeable. You know, how could you be against that? But really, when you know about this plan, it is really very serious.
Did you know that there's regional plans all across the nation right now that are being rolled out that are all exactly the same? They're all in alignment with the principles of UN Agenda 21. And ICLEI is their agent. An NGO is an affiliate of the United Nations. That's what that means. They're not part of this government. They're outside, coming from outside of our nation. And they don't have the best interests of Americans at heart.
What they're going for is 11 regions in North America, not states, not our 50 states, 11 regions. They will be appointing people to do the planning and the running and the operation of those regions through the United Nations.
The International Council of Local Environments is an oxymoron to me. What does the International Council have to do with our local environments?
On the ICLEI website, it says 200 local governments from 43 countries convened at our inaugural conference, the World Congress of Local Governments for Sustainable Future at the United Nations in New York. I think there's a connection. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Mora?
I am patently against ICLEI and Agenda 21, and I urge the city as a resident to withdraw your membership. That's not to say give up your green programs. That's not to say give up striving to have a better environment. But disconnect from this organization, it is not good.
This isn't about green. Green is just the guise. Green is just the guise until we open our eyes and realize that control is how the people that you're working for really roll.
Here is the Local Agenda Planning Guide, ICLEI. Local Agenda Planning Guide, ICLEI. If you open this up, it's from Maurice Strong. It talks about the United Nations. It talks about Agenda 21. This is it. You cannot deny that they are not connected.
Neither the United States Congress nor the American people have voted for Agenda 21's implementation.
They are there to indoctrinate people on the local level and bring it up through the state until it's a reality. And these people are all here tonight because they sense the same jeopardy. I hope that you understand this is bigger than all your tree questions and your trash disposal or anything else. Thank you.
Former President of the United States, George Bush Sr., said, effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. A major shift in the priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. Dixie Ray, former Washington State Governor and Assistant Secretary for Oceans and International Environmental and Scientific Affairs, stated, Agenda 21 seeks to establish a mechanism for transferring the wealth from citizens to the third world. Fear of environmental crisis would be used to create a world government and UN central direction. This segment of our society, who fear one world government and UN invasion, through which our individual freedoms will be stripped away, would actively work to defeat any elected official who joined the conspiracy by undertaking Agenda 21. So we will call our process something else. We will call it comprehensive planning or growth management or smart growth. We ended up with sustainable development.
Sustainable development has become the popularized expression for Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is the 1992 United Nations Rio Declaration on the environment and development.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
Agenda 21 defines itself as a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the United Nations systems.
It also elevates nature above man. And it contains something called the precautionary principle, where basically you're guilty until you're proven innocent.
Sustainable development is the philosophy designed to bring human beings across the globe under the full control of a narrow human elite.
It's a 40-chapter document to basically control the world. It's based entirely on socialist control mechanisms.
Sustainable developers have designed a global movement coordinated through a global to local action plan to create world government in accordance with certain objectives. The focus of sustainable development is the abolition of private property, societal undermining of the family and abandonment of the constitutional protection of unalienable rights as described in the Declaration of Independence.
You see, I sat on the Santa Cruz Agenda 21 committees. Now, this was a lot of crazy ideas. This is back in the mid-90s. Crazy ideas I heard. Mother Earth's surface wasn't to be scratched. Human beings were to be concentrated into human settlement zones. Educational systems were to focus on the environment as the central organizing principle. All aspects of life were covered. Well, I went to these committees at the request of some people who told me that I needed to understand what was going on, and I came back and I said, this is craziness. This is so silly. It has no chance of having any effect on our society. Well, I was wrong.
The United States government's support for sustainable development, Agenda 21, is very clear. In 1992, while the Rio conference was going on, George Bush, then president, was there where he executed the Agenda 21 protocols on behalf of the United States and brought it back to Washington, D.C. Within a year, Bill Clinton, by executive order, no congressional review, established the President's Council for Sustainable Development. In Santa Cruz, we've got a two-lane freeway system. We need four, but what we're getting is hundreds of millions of dollars of federal money to take a dilapidated rail line that Southern Pacific wants to put in the hands of somebody else so that a commuter line can be built along the railroad track that'll be followed by 14-story buildings where people will live and stack them and pack them units, where developers or so-called sustainable developers will build these high-rises with federal dollars. It's a partnership between selected developers building this new world order and the government using the American taxpayer dollars in order to do it. This is a map of the Wildlands Project. To explain the map, the red are areas that are to be off limits to human beings. No resource development, no human activity. If you live there, you won't.
Coming up, if you don't live in a major metro area, you might want to pack your bags. Years ago, moving to the suburbs was a sign that you were making a better life for yourself and your family. But our next guest details a government report suggesting there may be a long-term plan to change all that for you. The effort to, quote, Manhattanize America. You live in the suburbs, don't get too comfy. Our next guest says the Obama administration has plans to push Americans slowly but surely out of the burbs and into the big cities as a means to, quote, spread the wealth around.
The yellow areas are the areas for major control of all human activity. If you live there, you won't. The black areas, the black dots, are the smart growth zones. That's where human beings are to be stacked and packed in small living units along rail tracks.
Notice, the barbed wire faces in, not out. All right, we're going to go ahead and get out here and take a look at this a little closer. Stick with me.
Okay. And these buildings are pretty massive. They could hold a whole lot. Basically, there's one, two, three, four, all the way down there. There's another one over there and one in front of that. So there's six big buildings.
And then you notice each of the doors are numbered.
See the railroad tracks that go on the sides of all the buildings.
And it's pretty much been covered by a lot of people. You see the sign out there, hopefully, that says Homeland Security for the T. Don Hutto Residential Center. And so there it is. It's been designated as a FEMA camp in time of civil unrest or declared emergency.
A stockpile of military vehicles were recently discovered occupying a secluded commercial property on the outskirts of Las Vegas at the address of 5750 Sky Point Drive. It doesn't seem as if the Humvees and other military-grade vehicles are for sale, even though they are stationed at a former car dealership that has been stripped of its business logo and signs. It would appear as if the equipment is deliberately being hidden from the public on this secluded property surrounded by barbed wire fences. The front of the building, which can be seen while driving north on Interstate 95 while departing from Vegas, is littered with pedestrian vehicles. After closer investigation, it was clear that the former United Dodge dealership is some sort of military station, judging from the soldiers on the property all dressed and outfitted in army fatigues. However, there is no clear indication or signage posted certifying that it is a United States military base. One 18-year-old boy named Jonathan, who lives in the area, proclaimed, "The military has been there for 6 months now." His friends added, "We think it's a secret undercover operation or military base."
Charlotte Iserby, I owe you an apology. I did not believe for the longest time it was a deliberate dumbing down. I thought the dumbing down was a natural consequence of a bad idea. Folks, it's deliberate. It's deliberate.
The sustainable globalist goal is the orchestration of a planned fall of American principles, values, and lifestyles. The effect on the average American will be devastating. With modernizing technology, the ordinary person will live without independence, privacy, or substantive rights.
This government has been working overtime to take away our rights to common law through many pieces of legislation. Common law is what guarantees us an ability to correct injustices. This coming year, I promise you, you will also hear debate over a number of pieces of legislation that will further erode our common law rights. And you have to get behind me on this, ladies and gentlemen, to stop this from going through. As Agenda 21 became more and more apparent to me, I began using the line in Parliament, the government was now declaring war on its own citizens. And that goes back as far as 2008. This, of course, led me to being labelled a conspiracy theorist. But here we are now, openly talking about Agenda 21 and the ramifications we will see in a short period of time if this is not stopped in its tracks. The environmental crisis will be the international disaster that will unlock the new world order, one world government.
Things behind the pharaonic bloodline are in fact not human entities. This is something that a lot of people on the tube are waking up to, the reptilian agenda.
Reptilian race that is the Illuminati and headed by Queen Elizabeth. The Sangarians have their memories intact from one incarnation to the next. So when they take a human body, when they inhabit that body, when that body grows old and dies, they simply jump out of that one and jump into a new one.
Now, can a regressive entity take over a human body? The answer to that is absolutely yes. And the process is actually very simple. They abduct someone, they bring him to death very slowly, and the moment his last breath, his essence, leaves the body, they replace it with another.
And still others believe that humanity will merge totally with digital technology by uploading individual consciousness to a virtual reality.
But my understanding is that there's anywhere from 3 to 7 months where there is a transition period. And generally when it happens to a major figure, they will be out of the limelight or be very rarely seen. Okay, when that happens, because they're still adjusting. Now let's talk about that some more. The word is, what some people have said is, I saw them turn into a reptilian. I actually saw the reptilian. Now that's probably very true. Now that doesn't mean that there are that they're actually a reptilian and they're just, you know, using technology to look like a human being. It's a human body. But you got to remember something. Reptilians are not used to the extremes of emotions. They don't have emotions like we do. Okay, in fact, many of the human races out there don't have the extreme of emotions that we do. So what happens is that if there's a situation where the body gets excited, because it's a human body, that's what it does. It's this huge antenna. When it gets excited, the reptilian soul inside doesn't know how to act. Okay? So he probably either gets frightened or he gets alarmed. And when he does that, because they're extremely powerful souls, okay, you see a projection of themselves. You see the projection of themselves in their auric field. You will see it, okay, because they're not used to the emotions. They don't know how to handle it.
Guys, these hybrid monsters that all man could produce, and when man could not produce enough, they began to eat the humans that raised them. All they could acquire from nature, and eventually, each other. Worldwide anthropological and historical documentation, as well as the biblical record, testify to the existence of giants. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants, whose height was 3,000 ells, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind.
Aliens are coming. Are you prepared?
What it is that they have a hard time holding their human form. And as long as they're around blood and the scent of blood, they can't hold human form.
Underground bases, without question, are being used as form a place to house alien takeover. Alien takeover means the implementation of a one-world government.
Yes. Mutilated humans were being found along with mutilated animals, and yes, mutilated animals, and those of you who doubt that this is taking place should leave your job, should leave your home, should do whatever you have to do, and go look for yourself, because it's important that you know it and that you believe it. These things were being found all across the United States. It was suspected that the aliens were not submitting a complete list of human contacts and abductees to MJ-12, and it was suspected that not all abductees had been returned, and this has been verified.
Hey, va por favor, yo decía, va.
Documental. Cuando se encuentran de frente con la peor pesadilla de su infancia.
It's very, very common. And here is another thing. Please, people who have been kidnapped by the Mandindan, the gray aliens.
Okay, you
should have.
Yes, go ahead.
Should have their ancestry checked, because the gray aliens who work for the Chitauli do not just kidnap anybody. They kidnap special people, and in the blood of those people, they look for something. I don't know what it is. For example, I am an abductee myself. I have got injuries on my thighs which no weapon has ever made. I have got a hole in my left thigh which you can put your finger right up to the middle, your thumb right up to the middle. And many people like that who were taken by the Mandindan, when I check into their ancestry, I find that they were descended from chiefs or from noblemen and high officials of a tribe in ancient times.
Aliens are coming. Are you prepared?
Michael, that you have written evidence that goes against human evolution is reported only by crackpots.
Now, this is one of the standard techniques that the scientific community tries to use against anybody that reports something that goes against their ideas. They try to label them in a derogatory way without actually discussing the facts.
This human person who looked like us existed millions of years ago, did not evolve from an ape, as we are led to believe in the Darwin theory. Why has this evidence been suppressed, and what kind of evidence have you found to support this?
Well, I'll give you a very good example. Now, one example from historical times is during the California Gold Rush days, miners were digging tunnels thousands of feet into the sides of mountains. Now, the rock in these mountains is over 10 million years old. So when they were digging these tunnels, they were finding human skeletons, they were finding mortars and pestles, hundreds of them at dozens of locations. Now, all these were gathered together, reported to the scientific world by J.D. Whitney, who was the state geologist of California. And he published a massive book about them by Harvard University. Harvard University was the publisher. Now, what happened to these artifacts? Why aren't they on display in museums? Why aren't our children taught about them in schools? There was a very powerful anthropologist at the Smithsonian Institution named William H. Holmes. And he said to Whitney, "You, Dr. Whitney, if you had understood the theory of human evolution as we understand it today, you would have hesitated to announce your conclusion, namely that human beings existed millions of years ago, despite the imposing array of facts with which you were confronted." In other words, simply because the facts didn't fit the theory, the facts had to go, and so did Professor Whitney.
I think she has little fangs and incisors as teeth, and there's a tongue. They all seem to have this kind of tongue when they're in at this level. Your tongue has a lot of long, hairy or pointed projections coming out of it. It's very long. And they have these, they don't have hands or feet, they have these claws. And they have scales and also scales that seem to kind of disappear into one another.
And many people seeing something like a reptile man will not be able to think, to realize what they are seeing. Some of them become so rejecting of what they see that they don't see it at all. And this, you can also find this thing amongst animals. There are animals which are capable of seeing certain shapes, but not others. We are like that. Now, these creatures, we are told, stand about 6 feet or 7 feet.
But, of course, in any political system, there are sort of over-the-table and under-the-table arrangements.
Shut up, conspiracy theorists.
What have you seen them do?
I've seen all of them drink human blood and consume human flesh. And
they have this special ability to make you think you see a human being, and so you're not afraid. They can get very close to you and then attack. It might be like being eaten by a large snake, and I don't want to be eaten by any reptile. We know that snakes eat mice, rabbits, and deer, so they already have a taste for mammals, and this makes me very suspicious of them in respect to cuisine. Also, I saw some reptiles chase a Russian soldier down and pull his arms off and eat him. Those creatures looked a lot like Lacerda. They drank his blood like savages.
Are around 4,000 years old. And what they came out with was this. The researcher, who is named Brian Forrester, he hired a DNA geneticist to look into this, who said this. It had mitochondrial DNA with mutations unknown in any human primate or animal known so far. But a few fragments I was able to sequence from this sample indicate that if these mutations will hold, we are dealing with a new human-like creature, very distant from the Homo sapiens, Neanderthals, and Denisovans. I am not sure it will even fit into the known evolutionary tree.
God, Red Elk, do they look human at all? I mean, do they have
No
human features at all?
Well, eyes, legs.
Eyes, legs. They walk on
tail and dragon, and they've got their skin is basically scaly.
When I got out in 1989, we had cataloged 57 different species. You have individuals that look very much like you and myself that could walk among us and you wouldn't even notice the difference, except for some of the things that they might be able to go ahead, even in a dark room, and touch an object and go ahead and identify what color that object might be. They would have a heightened sense of smell, sight, hearing. Situation is that you have various types of what we normally call grays. We didn't call them grays in the military, but you had at least three types of the grays. You had some that were much taller than we were. The unique thing that I'd like to point out for the most part is that the entities that we did catalog were in fact humanoid. Now this created a situation where the scientific community was trying to figure out why that would be the case, because you would expect that if life evolved on other planets, that they would take on some type of other being, so to speak, not necessarily look humanoid or be bipedal such as we are. But apparently, we got quite a few of the species out there that are humanoid in appearance, and that creates a question that yet has to be answered by science.
Yes,
I've seen shapeshift into reptilians.
Dos palabras, una, dos que son una, un hombre, lo que soy, eso sí, hombre humano, pues, hombre humano, porque hay seres humanos que no tienen forma humana, pero no son, yo soy.
Shapeshifters. Does technology exist where someone can create a holograph around themselves? Yes, the technology does exist. Is that technology presently being used on Earth?
I start to see changes happen, and they're happening so fast that it's almost it's the closest thing that I've seen to it is what they're now doing with computer technology. It's just a literal transformation that happens very quickly, and they get taller and they get bigger. And they don't look at all as reptilians like they do as humans.
So here it is again on Google Images. I tell you all, folks, in Switzerland there's something terribly wrong, and it's people don't behave as normal human beings should. Inhuman and cold are their crimes against humanity throughout history, and their sly financial institutions rule the world. Yes, the inhabitants of Octagon literally worship money and gold. So no wonder that on their token of worship for more disturbing proofs, symbols and strange entities can be found of a world we humans have no idea about. And also this is hidden, as everything is hidden in Octagon. I looked at this Swiss 50 francs or 50 franken bill hundreds of times, at least, and didn't see it until yesterday. When I was tired and looked at this image in the internet with a different intensity, probably, and then I saw it. A blatant green reptilian for the worshipping of their masters. Or is it the Swiss themselves? Did they mix with this being? Is it Baphomet of the Templars, who founded Switzerland in the last year of the Crusades in 1291? Here are the eyes, slightly at the side of the head. Yeah. Just as reptilians are. They have this, like the images show, on the side of the head. Yeah. As reptilians do, yeah? Green as a lizard. and some vortex full of sixes and vesica pichas shooting out of its mouth. Yeah. A lot of sixes and a vortex, and here's the vesica pichas out of a mouth. Here's sort of a nose, and here's a... It's like coming out here. And look at the head here. This, the front. Well, this is Switzerland. Here are the eyes. Well, there it is again. Look here, you can see the, like this thing here, where the eyes, the what's on the bill. These markings on the bill, the eyes are at the side of their head on the bill. This funny form here, where the nose is and the mouth is, it's also on the bill. The green collar. This is, you know, Octagon of the Alps, eh? Creepy place. And these lines here over their head, a part of the skull, are very much shown at the Swiss 50 francs bill, and the eyes at the side of the skull. They're very distinctive here. It's one of the distinctive marks. And it's on the bill, eh? So here's one of their older Swiss 50 francs bills. The owl, one of the symbols of the Freemasons, the star of the hexagram. And this is Fleur de Lis, the symbol of the fair aristocracy. And there's much more to see. So here's our old 50 francs with an owl, symbol of the Freemasons, the hexagon in it, and this is Fleur de Lis, the symbol of the fair aristocracy. Some nice claws. This is their older 10 francs of Switzerland, the 10 francs bill with the Nibiru in it and planets. We should see the other side as well. There's a good video about this. And there's much more to see on their paper bills, I'm sure. In Octagon, in the Alps, the country of stealth and the occult, or hidden behind clean, sly, and sterile diplomacy. I apologize to y'all for not seeing this reptilian before, but it's also hidden behind the lies. There's so many things to see, and I just don't see it all. So here's another old 100 francs, where they show the octagon in the middle. And here another old 1,000 francs of Switzerland. Here's another older 1,000 francs. Today's 1,000 francs. Oh, weird stuff on it. What's that? This is a, it's a man. Part man. Oh. Today's 200 francs. There's also part of the 200 francs the other side. Some older 100 francs. And it's today 100 francs as I showed you before. Weird creatures here. And here, one of their old 50s. With some funny Babylonian creature. With a human head. So if you punch 50 Franken in Google Images, a whole lot of them pop out. So maybe someone else will feel inspired to make a video with real creepy music and special effects about the Swiss reptilian money. Evil in the Alps is very real, and in Octagon, evil gets worshipped.
When the experiment of how many reptilians could actually be squeezed into mountain regions actually took place, many reptilians have been on our planet for many thousands of years, they have been very much governed by those who prefer to rule by using warfare, as opposed to those who would rather form a governorship of hearts who belong to servitude for the people. I think we're all very aware these days that our governments don't really serve us, but they are serving someone else. And I think that somebody else who seems to really enjoy taking our gold out of our bank vaults. I do believe that this gold is sent on ships, as in spaceships, to the higher worlds. And I do believe that this gold is then handed over to reptilian species who actually then recreate light orbs to be quite a devastating space.
People and the people of the world have a right to know what's going on because they're part of it. It's not just an isolated thing. And so after confirming the contents of the book with a retired United States Air Force general, I accept the invitation of Victor Vigiani, who's over here somewhere, and his cohort Mike Bird to speak to a symposium at the University of Toronto. And I said, UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying overhead. That gave me the dubious distinction of being the first person of cabinet rank in the G8 group of countries to say so unequivocally. Since then, I've learned a lot from many sources, including a number of the fantastic witnesses that we have heard these last 4 days. They're so outstanding, I was just really blown away with them, the amount of information that was available.
The large alien greys had been encamped there for as best as believed possible about 400 or 500 years. It had been one of their internal bases. And we'd drilled holes right on top of it. All the stinking air, all the black sooty air came right out as soon as the first hole was sunk and all this soot came up.
And also scales that seemed to kind of disappear into one another. But it's more pronounced on the back. There seem to be lumps or protrusions coming from the head. There seem to be some kind of growth, appendages at where, you know, on the back. And they seem folded. And not all of them have that.
The alien agenda is the complete takeover of this planet, the killing off of 5/6 to 7/8 of the world's population by the year 2029. U.S. military has known about this for 45 years.
For all you people who believe in reptilians, lizards, and serpent people, historically I can tell you this, that the word Messiah literally means the lizard king in Demotic or Pharaonic. And apparently there are quite a few people in various religions around the globe who wait for the return of the Messiah or lizard king. So as a
basically suck. Because really, they're always trying to screw you.
Everyone?
No, you run into, you have these different occasions where you run into nice people, you know what I mean? But, you know what I mean, you've been to experience, you know, they don't have no emotion towards human feelings, you know what I mean? Really, they don't have no emotion towards human feelings, you know what I mean?
Something I like to cover here. As you can see here, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Now, that same quote was used by the actor in the Thor movie, where he said the technology and magic, they can't tell the difference. So, now you got this theory of these reptiles and these shapeshifters and stuff. So you might have to really begin to consider, is this just a really advanced form of technology? And is there anything from the ancient past that can kind of confirm or deny or kind of help us, point us in the right direction as to whether or not, you know, these shape-shifting things actually do exist? Now, there's one particular area in the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, which some people think Thoth is Satan, and some people think he's not, whatever. But what I'm just going to take it from here is the eighth tablet. I'm going to read a little bit here for you. And then I'm going to show you some videos here to see if we made a link. So it goes on here in the eighth tablet. Speak, I of ancient Atlantis. Speak of the days of the kingdom of shadows. Speak of the coming of the children of shadows. Out of the great deep were they called by the wisdom of earth men, called for the purpose of gaining great power. Far in the past, before Atlantis existed, men there were who delved into darkness, using dark magic, calling up beings from the great deep below us. Further came they into this cycle, formless were they, of another vibration, existing unseen by the children of earth men. Only through blood could they have formed being. Only through man could they live in the world. In ages past, were they conquered by masters, driven below to the place whence they came. But some there were who remained, hidden in spaces and planes unknown to men. Lived they in Atlantis as shadows, but at times they appeared among men. Aye, when the blood was offered, for they came, they to dwell among men. In the form of man, they amongst men, but only to sight were they as are men. Serpent-headed when the glamour was lifted, but appearing to man as men among men. Crept they into the councils, taking forms that were like unto men, slaying by their arts the chiefs of the kingdoms, taking their form and ruling over man. Only by magic could they be discovered. Only by sound could their faces be seen. Sought they from the kingdom of shadows to destroy man and rule in his place. Now, if you go back there and you say, only by magic could they be discovered, how about only by advanced technology could they be discovered? Could they be seen with technology? Serpent-headed. And serpents got tongues. And it also says, slaying by their arts the chiefs of the kingdoms. Now take a look at a picture here. Last year, John Kerry showed up. Look at his face. This is January 24th, 2012. Okay? He's beaten. There's some bubble on his eye. And they're trying to say he was playing a friendly hockey game. This 6'8" dude who probably doesn't even know how to hold a hockey stick. Okay? And look at him. He's bloody and battered and beaten. Or was he slain and taken over? Because if you look at the Kerry nowadays, he doesn't seem to have any wrinkles on his face, so I don't know if it's collagen or what. But we're just going along this theory. Now take a look at this girl here. This is by the Pope, Ratzinger, during his internet Praise the Internet speech. Now look at her tongue. You see how it goes up and underneath? See right here? Underneath the lip? See how big that sucker is? Okay? Now we're going to go over here and take a look at the Senate confirmation hearings, which was like January 2013. Look at Kerry here. Look at his tongue. Now, if you notice that tongue goes, it's, and sometimes it's a tongue that actually does pop out. Other times, this is a thing that shoots out underneath his lip. And it's so fast, I got to slow it down here. I'll put all the original clips that you guys can watch down here. But in this, he's talking about his New World Order and all this other stuff. The New World Order, in my opinion, if this reptilian theory is correct, are these ancient beings from the kingdom of shadows that have come and taken over men. That they've taken over their bodies and they are now ruling in the kingdoms of men.
just as it was stated in the Bible, when the devil told Christ to bow before him because he and said he can have any kingdom you want because he rules all of them. The serpent rules them all because they've taken over these cowards who have sold their souls. So wherever the real John Kerry may or may not be, I don't know. But this theory seems pretty logical, and it almost seems as though these people are bent on the destruction of mankind. They cloak themselves behind all types of different fads and rages and movements. Right now they're cloaking themselves behind the civil rights movement.
So it turns out that if aliens ever show up here on Earth, little green men might be the least of our problems. A new study indicates that instead, they'll probably be more like super intelligent dinosaurs, as smart and as cunning as humans. As one scientist put it, we would be better off not meeting them. Sleep tight.
Probably burning things here. Some real weird stuff coming out of the back here. That's weird, man. Oh, yeah, look at the arms. There's a reptilian coming out of the back. See? You see? This is Switzerland, folks. It's the home of evil. The pharaohs. So this creature crawling out of the back of a human being is the very same creature we can see here on the Swiss 50 francs bill. Here where the high nobility, this is not the low nobility, where the descendants of Juliana von Sachsen-Coburg, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, you know, like the English royal house. Real funny things going on here in the land of hatred. Octagon. And this reptilian crawling out of the back of a human being, even has these three fingers or three-toed hands, which are quite typical for reptilians. And well, you can see it on a chicken, you know. So why on earth would a normal human being make something like this, you know? And this is also the reason why a lot of Masonic and hidden forces, they do the Masonic M gesture, which I'll show it to you now. Well, we can see it here too on some Babylonian stuff. You know, the typical three fingers as this thing crawling out of the back of a human being in Octagon, the home of the devil, Switzerland. It's probably Semiramis. Nice stuff, eh? And even human beings have it sometimes related to some former events or mixtures, which is in their DNA and coming back, like sometimes as a regression. And some more. Here we can see the M sign. Yeah, it's a lot of artists, politicians, and most of it all, the aristocracy, or let's say the fair aristocracy, doing these sort of things. It's in their DNA. And sometimes, you know, this is called Mendel's Laws. Sometimes it just comes back. And this is why this lovely lady here is doing the M sign as well, you know. It's also giving two V's, like in uppies. The protection of the Pharaonic Empire. So this is Ren Bedok. And in France, La Reine Bedok, she really had 1 or 2 feet like this. And she was very much related to a little people like Le Cargo. This one apparently really existed. Of course, it's the fair aristocracy. And they're the ones in power. There it says, La Reine Pédoc, the Queen of Pédoc. It's etymologically of pied, doigt. And doigt, is a, or Padua, it is a goose. So it means goose foot. And she was the queen of the goose foot. Now here's the Fleur d'Alys. It's all the aristocracy. This is La Reine Pédoc, who really existed. So that says the Queen Pédoc. It's an old book. And the Queen of Pédoc, the queen with the goose foot, she was very much related with a very special tribe of people. There were over 1 million in France. It's called Les Cagots. And you can see they have this, the leopard sign of the goose foot or the reptilian foot on their chests. This is a very old drawing from France. I already showed you this. Even one of Napoleon's generals, he was a Cagot. And, well, there are even some pictures of them made in the 50s. And so this is why this three-finger reptilian, it has three fingers crawling out of the back. Here you can see it, the three fingers. Typical reptilian sign. They're all wearing it here in the Middle Ages. And these people, the Cagots, they were missing some things in their organs, and they could only live in the mountains, Switzerland, you know, and here in the south of France in the Pyrenees, but they probably made it to Switzerland. So here, for example, is a picture of a Cagot, so this is the female with an E. So if you want to look it up, it's only with without an E. Yeah, there were millions of them. Now they're probably mixed and went to Switzerland. So here's some old people from history doing the M sign. I just call it the M sign, but it is in fact Le Pédoc. The goose foot or the reptilian foot. I don't know who that is. Some English bloke, I think. Here the Pope giving the M sign, or the old Pope. A Mason doing the M sign. And who is this doing the M sign? I saw this guy before somewhere. Who is that again? Oh yes, of course, he's doing the M sign as well. Mr. Mason. And another Mason doing the M sign. Hello, you traitor. Another M sign. This is Joseph Smith, who invented the Mormons. Hello, Mr. Mormon. Well, we all know this fella here. Hello. And this is Martin Luther doing the M sign. The guy who invented the Protestants. Only... he was part of the nobility, just as his wife, Katharina von Bora. All nobility, aristocracy, just as the this princess of the high nobility in Bern, Switzerland. And he invented the Protestants, you know, the Protestant movement, only to put people up against each other and kill the Germans by the Swiss mercenaries, by the way. And by a difference in the religion, race, color of skin, or ideology, like communism against fascism, they're just, their business is to put people up against each other. So he too is doing the M sign. And here's the monument for Martin Luther, an obelisk, which is a symbol of the Pharaoh domination. And so he's part of them. He was an aristocrat. So look at this picture here. I'm going to show another picture of it. So he's part of the gang, really. So here it is again, together with his wife, von Bora. They're all nobility, pretending to be a monk, even their children. What a monk, eh? More like a monk-y. And this guy hated the Jews very, very, very much. even wrote a lot of things about it. As the whole of the aristocracy, they hate the Jews. You know, look at the World War II. They were all von in the SS, killing Jews, and they are the pharaohs. I mean, that's logical, isn't it? The pharaohs. Of course, the pharaohs hate the Jews. It's nothing new, and they are the pharaohistocracy here in Europe, pretending to be monks and still doing the same thing. Nothing has changed, really.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
In one scientists injected plutonium into 18 patients without their knowledge. In another, doctors exposed indigent cancer patients to excessive doses of radiation, a treatment from which it is virtually impossible that they could ever benefit.
Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
Symbol of France, the fleur-de-lis, and there are jewels that are sewn in at certain points on these robes, and they wear these robes, but they don't wear anything underneath the robes, because what is going to happen, what the rituals are all about, they're going to shape-shift.
The Illuminati cover up their reptilian nature with a human disguise. But occasionally, though, the effort of hiding their slithery selves becomes too much, and the mask drops.
Let me see you as you really are.
Regarding current operations, and I just want to go through a list of them very quickly, of these facilities and corporations for which we have witnesses who can be subpoenaed by the committees of the Congress. This was developed at the request of Congressman Christopher Cox of Orange County, with whom I met, and was later further developed for the briefing that we put together for President Obama. These facilities are the Edwards Air Force Base and subsections at the dry lake bed where the Lockheed Skunk Works operations, Haystack Butte, China Lakes, George Air Force Base, and the closed Norton Air Force Base, where an anti-gravity device, so-called alien reproduction vehicle, for which we have the schematics, was seen by Frank Carlucci and others on our witness team. Tabletop Mountain and Blackjack Control. The aerospace facilities there are the Northrop Anthill Facility, Tejon Ranch, the McDonnell Douglas Lano Plant, Lockheed Martin Hellendale Plant, and the Phillips Lab. At the Nellis Air Force Facility, so-called Area 51, no one calls it that. There's S-4 and S-12, Pahoot Mesa, Groom Lake, and a number of sub-facilities. The most important facility is in Utah, near Provo, the Dugway Proving Grounds, all of which is underground, and the airspace above it is classified. There are no roads into this facility. The New Mexico facilities include Los Alamos National Labs with underground connectors to the so-called Dulce area where the biological work is being done, and Kirtland Air Force Base. And the complex there includes Sandia National Laboratories, Phillips Labs, Manzano Mountain Weapons Storage Facility, Coyote Canyon, and the White Sands Complex. In Arizona, near Fort Huachuca, which is Army Intelligence Headquarters, there is a UGB underground base where one of our witnesses, who will testify, worked on 9 separate extraterrestrial vehicles that had been downed through advanced electromagnetic pulse weapons, and there are several different species of extraterrestrial biologicals stored at that facility. The other facilities, and this goes on, include a special compartmented area of Cheyenne Mountain, where we have witnesses in our team who can be subpoenaed, where we have tracked extraterrestrial vehicles in our solar system that we're measuring 26 miles in diameter. There are also facilities in Australia, a key one being Pine Gap, the so-called Alice Springs facility, which is mostly a U.S. Air Force facility, even though it is in Australia. I recently talked to the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia about this. Also, the Redstone Arsenal and the Marshall Space Flight Center. We have a scientist at the Redstone Arsenal who works under contract for IT&T who have developed these transdimensional systems. He was under contract with my project to bring these energy devices out, and he was then threatened by a former CIA director and what I call the goon squad that went down there 3 years ago in March. This is just part of the information we have, and this information is on the flash drive given to Stephen Bassett's staff, and you're all welcome to review. Thank you.
This is what the aliens are doing with our government right now in secret. Did you know there are ancient hieroglyphics with spacemen and UFOs? The so-called aliens have not just arrived recently. They have been here the entire time. They are the fallen angels. Both atheist and Christian scientific researchers have studied alien abductions and came to the same conclusion. Victims of both demonic possessions and alien abductions report having similar experiences. An ex-CIA agent in an interview gave a testimony of his encounter with several aliens in one of the underground government facilities. When he first saw them, he was startled and under his breath said, "Jesus." He said the aliens screamed and took off running down the hall. The aliens, or fallen angels, continued mating with humans after the flood and over the centuries placed hybrids into key political positions of world leadership. Today, we know them as the Illuminati. This group of elite hybrids in positions of power all over the world decide on strategic plans concerning the New World Order takeover. They place presidents in office, they start wars, they plan the world economy takeover, and more. The fallen angels have their own Ten Commandments called the Georgia Guidestone. Georgia is the state where legislation tried to bring in guillotines for executions. It is all tied together by the Bible, explaining that in the end days, there will be a one-world government, a one-world currency, a one-world religion, and the beast, who is Lucifer, will cause all to receive a mark in the right hand or forehead, and without it, you can't buy or sell. The RFID chip is in place now with the scanning system, and Obamacare will force everyone to receive it. It's written into Obamacare. This is why the NSA and the IRS are spying on, collecting, and storing all of our information in massive computer banks. Our personal information, including medical, criminal, financial records, religious preferences, political affiliations, everything about us will be available to the Illuminati through the RFID chips once people are implanted. The Illuminati is in the process now of destroying our economy, along with other countries, and taking away our freedoms. They can't take completely over yet because we won't give up our guns and we can still fight back. But Syria and the Ukraine were sovereign countries forced into war with our government's help to overthrow their governments and replace them with Illuminati hybrids. Soon all the countries will be controlled by the hybrid Illuminati elites or fallen angels.
Now, according to this, on December 9th, 2009, the day of the Norway spiral, scheduled for 7 to 10 o'clock a.m., the exact time of the Norway spiral, they scheduled a test at the SCAT facility, and it's called Tequila Sunrise. It says the transient effects quantification under ionospheric low-angle sunrise. The idea is to look for the polar wintertime mesospheres through the transient caused by the scattered sunrise at about 8 a.m., exactly the time of the Norway spiral. Interestingly, this happens to be the maximum occurrence time of the polar mesosphere when it echoes. So they say that it's the time that the radiation's in the atmosphere and it could light up, and that's what they're trying to test by heating it. But I think that their test was had a little more. I don't think it was just a coincidence, because look at these images. Okay? Now this is actually from a Navy.mil website, nrl.navy.mil. and explaining what HARP is, okay? This paper was released in 1999, so they hadn't really been thinking about what all they were talking about. But look at these images here. Notice it's still on the Navy.mil website. Now, this is an illustration of what the HARP system looks like when it's in operation. Notice the spiraling right here. And here's actually another image that they have on the website, still Navy.mil, and it's zooming in on the top. That's what it looks like when it's in operation. You can see the spiral effect very vividly. Now, I'm also going to add in this video some Nissim Haramein, a physicist. He's very intelligent, and he has some original ideas about, you know, grand unified field theory and all that, but he explains how every wave is actually a spiral. There's no such thing as just normal wave signals.
Conspiracy theorists, you're quite right, will scream that you're not listening to them, because a lot of people don't listen to them. And you have every right to say you want to change the subject or you don't feel comfortable discussing that. If they're not going to listen to you on that point, they're just being rude. Now, if you dismiss them or belittle them, yes, they're going to get worse. They will yell even louder because they think you're just being stupid, and in some cases, some people are. Now, regardless, now I actually did a three-part series on conspiracy theories and what standards of proof should be applied. However, we've also got to put standards on ourselves as far as what we dismiss. And you got to remember, an official explanation is an explanation given by officials, and maybe officials don't want to be bothered taking the time to reason things out and research things and look into them extensively, because really they just want to get on with their job. I'm just saying that's one sort of official explanation. And I'm not even getting into deliberately lying to cover up an agenda. So, with that in mind, we get back to UFOs and what we're seeing. Now, it could be a light show done with holograms. It could be light bodies of beings from different states of consciousness. It could be aircraft that produce a large amount of light. We don't know. The evidence of action, the grammar, because there's logic, grammar, and rhetoric. Rhetoric's conflicting, and we don't know about the logic. The grammar of the situation indicates that these are flights. Now, whether they're test flights of government aircraft or things done to keep us deliberately confused, I'll tell you one thing. Isn't it convenient that this marvelous technology, which could seemingly end a lot of technological and environmental problems here on Earth, is from out there? Oh no, it's not like Nikola Tesla was working on. Oh no, it's not like anything you could walk up to somebody's house, knock on their door, and ask them to explain why they're doing it. No, it's from out there. So we can't question the technology, we can't question the disruptions, and let's face it, from an organizational standpoint, it's very convenient as an excuse mechanism, because you've got to have a balance of excuses. You put it all on one thing all the time, eventually people are going to demand an explanation as to what's causing this thing. You can't put it all on incompetence, or else it's a massive review. You can't put it all on accidents, or that people review your materials and your stuff, and that's too much scrutiny. You can't put it on aliens, or else the whole world starts screaming in a panic over aliens, and that's very rarely helpful to the powers that be. So, I think the alien side of things is convenient. I think the UFO side of things could have any number of explanations, and I've got my own preferred theories, Lord knows. However, I ask the audience to look at one thing themselves. And if you feel, and if you're not giving, if you aren't balancing your mind so that you could take in new information objectively and look at it fairly, then ask yourself this. Would you ever stand a reasonable chance of acknowledging, accepting, or even identifying the truth, even if the truth of UFOs, even if it was presented to you without it? The worst bit is, for the people that make conspiracy theorists more manic and upset, they're just comfortable being in their own little explanation bubble, and they're not going to examine themselves even in the slightest. And for those people, I honestly pity them. I'm Ozzy Griffin, I'm Minorly Annoyed, and I hope you have a good afternoon.
That basically the powers that be are showing you. First, we had, of course, the Norway swirls, and then it was, what? We also had this, lost civilization appears above Chinese River. Of course, it was attributed to what? A mirage. Well, they're just testing the public to see how they react to this stuff. Busting out this holographic Tupac. This video will probably be banned around the world just because of that song, so I'll probably have to go back and re-edit it. But I just wanted to put it out there in case you didn't see it and try to basically tie it in. This video, no longer available because the YouTube account associated with this video has been terminated. So there you go. Okay, moving on here. I don't know if you remember this, Project Bluebeam. Just give you some quick background, but basically another journalist who was researching Project Bluebeam died of a, quote, heart attack. That's right, they do have these weapons to cause heart attacks. They're just simple microwaves that's been tested by governments. It says here, within weeks of each other, although near neither have a history of heart disease. So he was in Canada. But it basically goes on there, and he says, in an article that was presented by Sergey in 1994 to the Canadian Free Press of Quebec. So what are the reasons for Project Bluebeam? Well, or similar type, whatever they're calling it. This technology is what? Engineering earthquakes and hoax discoveries. So, you know, if you want to call it a conspiracy, I've used this reference before, but it was actually brought up by the government themselves in their own documents about creating earthquakes and stuff as a weapon, a weather weapon. And nobody will know who caused it. And, of course, that ties in with HAARP. So besides the artificially created earthquakes at certain locations, supposed new discoveries are going to explain to all people the error of their fundamental religious doctrines, and many of them were created by these same entities or groups. It says here, the falsification of this information will be used to make all nations believe that their religious doctrines have been misunderstood for centuries and misinterpreted. Psychological preparations, of course, by our experts, the psychiatrists, and that for that first step have already been implementing that type of doctrine, or basically it's called predictive programming. They're planting the seeds in people's subconscious.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
Plum Island Animal Disease Center off the East Coast, up by New York, is a pretty creepy place. If you've never heard about it, I suggest you go look it up. Links in the details. While I was researching something, I found this document, and this is disturbing beyond some of any of the stuff I've ever heard. And the following that in... This is kind of broken up, so let me just bear with me. In August of 1991, Hurricane Bob hit Plum Island and knocked over the overhead power box, which was the backup power for the facility. And as a consequence, the freezers containing virus samples defrosted. Air seals on the lab, which were breached in the animal holding facilities where the vents failed. The fail-safe mechanism of the air damper sealing off the facility to the open air also failed. I'm going to repeat that. The fail-safe mechanism of air dampers sealing off the facility, quote, keeping the viruses inside, to the open air also failed. Melted virus samples mixed with infected animal waste on the floor, and swarms of mosquitoes filled the facility. Eek. This took place in what the USDA called the safest facility in the world on viruses. In 1991, in September, the USDA denied that any system failures had occurred during the hurricane. Big surprise. And the lab workers that were occupying the lab at the time of the blackout were fired. Another big surprise. In 92, OSHA, the EPA, cited the Plum Island facility with hundreds of safety violations. OSHA returned 5 years later and found that the violations had not been corrected. Another big surprise. At that time, 124 new violations were found. Oh my God. In 2000, July, the New York Department, State Department of Environmental Conservation found very troubling hazardous waste violations at the Plum Island facility, prompting the New York State Attorney General to sue the USDA. In 2001, the court-approved consent order forced the USDA to admit serious discharge violations. August 2002, Plum Island workers went out to strike to protest unsafe working conditions. In December 2002, the National Resource Defense Council named Plum Island number 2 of the 12 worst polluters in New York and New Jersey. Whoa! And to sum it all up, and the state senator on the task force was quoted as saying, "What disturbs me is the consistent flow of misinformation. I feel that some of the misinformation borders on a cover-up. It shakes the foundation of our very form of government." I don't know about you, but I've been shaken a little bit by this statement, and but it doesn't surprise me. Be safe out there.